Well, hey there, Freddy's Nation. Welcome to episode 3 of Never a Dull Moment. I apologize for the delay in getting to y'all, but it's been a bit of a crazy year and everybody's busy and lots of moving parts. But excited to be back on the microphone and talking to you guys about the Freddy's world and all the things that are happening out there. Today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to turn the table.
Whoa.
And so I would like to introduce Brian Wise, our chief operating officer, who is going to be putting me on the grill today. So Brian, welcome to Never a Dull Moment.
All right. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate you having me here.
Yeah. So most people out there, I think, know your story, but let's hear it.
All right.
Let's go. What happened? How did you end up here?
Well, a crazy deal. It's a small restaurant community in Kansas, so when something awesome is happening, everybody knows about it in the restaurant community, and we'd heard about this Freddy's deal, and we're able to get a couple early units in the brand, and so I was on the franchise side of the business for a lot of years.
And that was with HCI, right?
It was, yeah. Dave and I, we were partners in another restaurant concept and actually knew Ron and from that concept and the Olsakers and that group there. So good friends.
Yeah.
And
so what brand was that?
That was Quiznos.
Oh,
we were
all
in the Quiznos business together.
Heard some nightmares about that that brand.
Yeah, I think Dave and I say we've learned a lot there, and we're glad we learned it on a small concept.
There you go. There you go. They had a great sandwich.
Oh, my God. It was so good. This is how little I knew about franchising. I was working over in Kansas City, and my brother was getting out of the military, and he wanted to buy a bar, actually. I was like, nah, I'm not doing a bar. And I said, but there's this restaurant around the corner, and I love it. It's so good. And it was a Quiznos. And I go, you got to meet me over here. And I just had him come to my office. I drove him over. And I go in, I'm talking to the franchise owner, like his last name is Quiznos.
Yeah.
Like I had no clue. And my brother was sitting there, and he goes, hey, dummy, this is a franchise. I mean, they have these in Florida. And
nice.
I was like, no clue. So I can't say I got on the franchising side of the business with some giant plan.
Sure.
But to me, it's always been about being around great food and great people.
Yep.
And Freddy's has both of those.
Absolutely. So, all right. So how many units were you operating at HCI?
Ooh. On the Freddy's business, we built 34.
Nice.
And we had those down in North Carolina, a bunch, a Virginia unit. We had some locations that we didn't own, but we were managing for another group in Central Texas and eventually bought those from Keith and his group there.
Yeah.
So we were also doing some other stuff. We had, man, barbecue restaurants, full service restaurants, bars and grills, you name it. We were in a little bit of everything in the restaurant
space. So you were just trying to keep it simple.
Yeah, we were really staying highly focused.
Yes,
yeah.
Perfect. Hey, but I love one of the things I love about our Freddy's franchise community is just their entrepreneurial spirit. And I think that Dave and HCI, there's no better example.
Yeah, no, I learned so much from there. He always says he's a serial entrepreneur, and that I think he's got that pegged.
Yep.
And I like to come in and get things to work well and have them work to a plan, and so I'm appreciative of that time there.
Sure, so, man. That's awesome. Well, we're glad to have you, and glad to have you on the podcast. So I guess I'm the target today.
Yeah, I was going to say, I when you said, hey, do you want to come on? I'm like, yeah, but how about we flip this thing a little bit, and I kind of want to hear from you.
Yeah.
I get this a lot. You and I've always appreciated that we just get time to talk about the business and time to think about it. You know, I was asked this question recently, and I thought maybe I'll just start it with you. I was on a panel, and they said, what keeps you up at night?
Mm.
And I thought, ooh, that's a tough one. So
it is a tough one.
I'm going to come out of the gate strong. How about that?
So. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I sleep really well.
That's good.
Yes,
that's good.
I do. I'm a good sleeper. You know, my dad was a guy that said, you know, if something worries you, then you should do something about it, right?
Mm.
And if you can't do something about it, then you probably shouldn't worry about it.
Nice.
And so, you know, I am a guy that the things that I worry about or the things that concern me, I try to take action on those when I'm awake.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I can't, you know, people talk about the macros, right? You've got economic conditions, inflation. We have a presidential election coming up. You have all these things out there that you really, you know, you get one vote, so you do what you do there. But you're not going to be able to make any hay on those type of situations. And so it's kind of pointless to spend a bunch of time worrying or pontificating on those things. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know, there are things that that definitely concern me. And those are things that, you know, I try to take action on when I'm awake. And so I don't really stay up at night. I sleep pretty good. But the things that I would say, you know, the things that concern me, especially around Freddy's, you know, first of all is consistency. You know, when you're scaling a business the way that we are today, we opened our 58th new restaurant of the year, number 514, and we ran past 500 like it was parked, which is a great thing.
Yeah, that feels like it was just a while ago. It was like, are we talking, a month or two?
Yeah, so. I mean, it was the first weekend of October that Burleson opened, and that seems like last weekend, you know.
Yeah.
And there's been a million things that have happened since, so things are moving fast. But
I
think for me, you know, when you're scaling a business and you're having that type of growth and you've got, you know, so many developers that are opening new restaurants, maintaining consistency in your operation is very difficult. And you know, as we look forward into 2024, and one of our primary strategies is really execution of the three pillars, which is pretty basic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it isn't.
No. It's what do they say? It's basic but not easy or something.
Correct.
There's a statement out there.
Yeah,
about that.
Right. Yeah. But it really is. I mean, at the end of the day, we can never get away from what got us where we are, which is having restaurants that are impeccably clean, food that is fresh, high quality, made to order. And I think the thing that we do so well when we do it well is genuine hospitality. And if we ever allow ourselves to deviate from that plan, you take the heart and soul or the culture of Freddy's out of Freddy's, which is not a good place. And so for me, I think my number one concern and the thing that I'm most focused on executing is really the three pillars and maintaining the culture of Freddy's.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this. I didn't tell you what I was thinking about around this, but it's the same deal. It's that somehow we settle for good,
mm-hmm.
and we're good. We covered it this morning on the national call. We've got a lot of restaurants doing a lot of great things, but settling, I don't know. It's never set well with me. I don't take you as the kind of guy that's just like, okay, that's good enough, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
What is it? The good is the enemy of great.
Yeah. And for me, it's somehow that we settle into we've done as good as we can do.
Sure.
And
I was sharing with some of the guys in the break room yesterday about a trip I took earlier this year where I drove up through several states north of Texas, and I visited every single Freddy's along the way. And I had some good experiences. I had some not so good experiences. And I had a few that were just dialed up the way you want it in every aspect of a Freddy's experience. And when it's great, it's just really great and it's special. And I think that, you know, those type of Freddy's experiences, which we should be able to execute most of the time, really create a connection with our guests that is far more powerful than having great food, that is far more powerful than, you know, having a great commercial. When you can connect emotionally with your guest and you can make them feel special, you've done something that is very difficult to do, and it's a connection that will pay dividends. When we do it great, there's no one who does it like us. And, I think that going back to the question, as we continue to scale, as we continue to get bigger, making sure that we have the right structure in place and making sure that we have the right services to ensure that we can execute that Freddy's promise to every single guest.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's great. So, well, I'm glad it's on top of mind, but I want good sleep for everybody. So,
that's right.
That'll
don't worry about what you can't change. Just let it go. I have to tell my wife that all the time.
Well, I might start adding that to our meeting. You need to say that. I'm a little bit of a worrier. And
yeah.
My wife's always like, quit worrying. And I'm like, I don't know.
I could get biblical on you. Like, there's some scripture in there that says, are you not more important than the birds and the trees? Like, let tomorrow worry about tomorrow.
All right. I'm taking that to heart right there. Hey, we were in a deal yesterday. We were talking to some awesome ops folks that were in and around the office. And I kind of said at one point, you and I were kind of sharing ideas. And it was, it's two old ops guys just given our experience. And they kind of looked at me funny, but a lot of folks don't know. You started as a general manager.
I did. I was a chief ice cream scooper at Marble Slab Creamery. So, yeah, I got, you know, a lot of folks don't know this, but I, you know, got my degree in education, envisioned myself probably getting into coaching after football, realized that I didn't really like coaching football players because it was frustrating for me because I wanted to actually be playing football, not coaching it. And so that really wasn't going to work. And then after, you know, my student teaching, the thought of being in a classroom every day for the rest of my life was like, yeah, I'm not doing that either. You know, I did what most people do at that point, and I went out and got a job in an ice cream shop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I started out managing Marble Slab Creamery ice cream stores. And, you know, it was a very different world. You know, back then we didn't have email.
Yeah.
So the fax was the coolest new thing.
Yeah. You get to your daily flash report would come across.
Yeah. I used to fax in my food orders, and I thought that was super cool.
Very cool. Yeah. High tech. We might try to bring that back.
Yeah. Maybe. No.
No, let's not do that. Hey, I was going to ask you on that, though. So I try to put myself in this position occasionally. You're out there. You're in the restaurants. You and I visit a ton of restaurants together. What do you see from inside of that view? What's the big opportunities ahead for us? You know, what do you think there?
Yeah, you know, I think, and you know, obviously we've had a couple calls that talk about this. I think at Freddy's, one of our biggest opportunities from an overall growth and expansion, I think, is really around our menu. But I say that with the operator mindset of the last thing we need to do is create a ton of complexity in our kitchens.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can walk into Jack in the Box or Wendy's and you look in the back of their kitchen and it looks like mayhem back there. They have, you know, extra pieces of equipment here and there and warmers this and that. And it just looks a bit like chaos because they're trying to do so much. And I don't think that that's ever where we want to be at Freddy's. We want to be tight and focused, but there are some clear opportunities in our menu. I think that, you know, where you look at chicken and we're doing less than 10% of sales in chicken, I think is a travesty. I think that there's just a tremendous opportunity for us to capture more sales there and create some frequency. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I'm an old ice cream guy. So I think our custard business, we have unbelievable custard. It is so delicious.
Yeah.
Yet most of the time we're selling custard as a part of a meal occasion. And so can we find a way to create that special custard experience where people are making a special trip to Freddy's to have custard with their family or custard with their girlfriend or custard with their friends, that they think of us when they think about that frozen dessert occasion. So I really see a lot of opportunity in those two areas. And I'll tell you a quick story. And I won't name any names, but when I first started at Freddy's, I went to the restaurant and I said, I haven't tried the chicken sandwich. I think I'm going to try the chicken sandwich. And it was like, no, you probably shouldn't do that. Which I was like, wait, do what?
What's going on
here?
Yeah,
why? Why? Not? Yeah, do we get a bad order of chicken? Like,
yeah,
you know,
what's going on here?
And I was like, really? Why? It's just not very good. Mm-hmm. And I can remember that hitting me like right in the chest. Like, yeah. Why would we have a product on our menu that we admittedly put out there as not being very good? That didn't set well. We should be proud of it. And then I got a lot of pushback from, you know, folks around the business saying, hey, you know, it's not a big piece of our business. And why would we dedicate a bunch of time to a product that isn't a big piece of our business? Maybe we should just focus on steak burgers. Which is a big piece of our business. And I'm like, yeah, but they're already a big piece of our business. And so, you know, is there an opportunity to get bigger in steak burgers? Sure. But look at what we're doing in chicken. And we have a product that we knowingly put out there as not being great. Let's at least make it great. Let's make it tasty. And let's let the guests tell us whether or not they appreciate that. And I think that the early testing that we did on chicken proved that we found a better product, found a better way to prepare it. We put a sandwich together that was delicious, tasty.
Yeah.
And the guests bought it and they like it. And I think that that's a great indication that maybe it is something we should dedicate some time to.
Yeah. There's a part in there when you were kind of talking about, you know, keep it streamlined menu. I could hear all the general managers and in-restaurant folks cheering out there. I think everyone worries about that, right?
Sure.
We don't want 22 combos and sub-panel A and B.
Yeah, I love the simplicity of our kitchen.
Yeah.
I mean, to your earlier comment, it's simple, but it ain't easy,
yeah.
Right? But we've got a streamlined operation. It's not overly complicated. We don't clutter our make with, a bunch of things that no one really wants. We've done a great job at eliminating some things that didn't move. And so to go backwards and create complexity for the sake of complexity is just not in anybody's head or mindset. And so finding ways to do more with what we've got and making sure that we're putting great products out is key, and keep it simple.
Yeah. Well, for any operator out there, that complexity, you know, they're thinking about that. But when you're standing in front of that guest and you serve that chicken, that grilled chicken product, and you're not proud of it, the opportunity to be proud of every single thing that leaves that kitchen is worth the challenge of how do we figure it out?
And, amen. And
that was one of the things I think when we were going through this process, I know our ops team, you start looking at chicken, you're like, oh my gosh, we've got to do some things we haven't done before. And then we thought, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And the worth it in my way was the Freddy's way. Well, like what's right for the guest.
Yep.
And that drove us.
Sure.
And when we stay in that lane, I feel great about it.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. You and I don't get to spend every day in restaurants. There's much bigger views, and I know you have them. What areas do you feel like maybe we're, not growing
sure.
enough, or are kind of not opportunities, but areas we should be growing more and be focused on?
Yeah, you know, I love where we're headed on the non-traditional side of the business. I think that it hasn't been by strategy. It's been mostly opportunistic, but we've got some airport locations that are doing very, very well. We've got some ballparks that are doing very, very well. And I think that those are locations that do an excellent job of highlighting our brand and marketing our brand and putting us front and center and introducing, you know, folks who maybe aren't familiar with Freddy's to our concept. I love where we're headed there. I think that's great. I think we could probably hit the gas there and make some investments on the development side of the business to grow that piece. It is a business that positively affects all of us. You know, the more exposure we have and high traffic, captured traffic locations, it's just better for all of us. So, you know, definitely think that's an opportunity. International, we did the Canadian deal last year and looking to see some restaurants open in 24 and excited about that. So I think there's still, you know, there's a lot of the world out there that Freddy's isn't in, but we have plenty of room here in the U.S. When I look at our U.S. development, you know, I think we do an excellent job, and our developers have for over 20 years been great at finding great pieces of dirt and building restaurants. And I think that that will forever be our core growth opportunity. Mm-hmm. When I look at the landscape of our competition and where I see weakness and opportunity for us to attack a little bit, you know, Five Guys had a great run, and they probably grew too fast and took on too many locations in the same DMAs and grow at all cost mentality. And in doing so, they, you know, I think they oversaturated markets and they cut their guest counts down meaningfully. And then they had to figure out how to make it work. And what they've done is they've jacked their prices and jacked their prices and jacked their prices. And, you know, you go into a Five Guys today, and I went just a few weeks back, and it was $24 for a burger, fries, and a small drink.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's like you got to bring a credit report with you to make sure you qualify.
Exactly.
For it, you know?
So I put the burger on layaway.
Okay, good.
So I'm going to go back this week and make my final payment.
Okay,
I'm excited
good.
About that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that that is a huge opportunity for Freddy's. We have an inline model that works extremely well when you look at it from a, just a pure ROI perspective. Significantly lower build costs, volumes that are commensurate with our freestanding locations with no drive. And so we have a better product than Five Guys. We have a custard offering that they don't have. We have, you know, multiple plays there, and our pricing is significantly lower. It's a significantly better value than what they do. But we know that their economic model worked well until they went a little too fast. Can we be strategic about taking an inline space here or there in markets where we have some concentration? I think we can. And I think that it would round out some of our big developers' portfolios. Again, it's a smaller investment, you know, similar volumes and great margin. And, you know, corporately, we have a handful of those restaurants that do very well for us. And we continue to look to build our corporate infrastructure with that inline model because it, you know, from a financial perspective, it works and it's a great return for us. I definitely think that there's an opportunity for us to consider some more inline space and some infill. And also that gives us an opportunity to be present in more kind of major metro where you don't want to, you know, spend $1.5 million or $2 million for an acre of dirt, but you can lease an end cap space for a reasonable amount of money and have a great patio and do great business and make a nice return. So I think that that's somewhere where we should strongly consider in our future thinking.
Well, with the order mode, mobile ordering now and delivery, I mean, who would have thought, right? You know, delivery.
Right.
With those order modes, it really brings the AUV to those inline or
it does.
In cap. Whereas before, it was like, no, we absolutely need that drive business to feel comfortable about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I mean, our first party and third party digital in inline space is significantly higher than a drive through location. Mm-hmm. You know, another opportunity, which I'm glad you mentioned that because I should put it out there. But you know, we talk about digital and. We've made a huge investment in digital and continue to make investments. It's really going well. You know, you look back, and while we're still kind of in the infancy, but you look back to, you know, before our web-based order platform and app launched, we did less than 1% of sales in first-party digital.
Yeah.
And today we're, I think, just slightly above 3%. Of first party digital. So we've seen a meaningful increase in that order mode, and it really is a convenient play for our guests. And I think that it's something that it's something we have to continue to invest in and make a more meaningful part of our business.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the digital process, it truly is a new restaurant. It's a different, it's an experience for a guest to experience the restaurant in a different way.
For sure.
And I don't know too many to where you build the first one and it's exactly what it'll be later.
Yep.
And you build it, and you get off the ground, and you iterate on top of that. But the goal is growth.
Yes.
And I like that about our digital platform is that we've got opportunity. Great.
Yep.
The chances of nailing it 100% out of the gate, that's a pretty high bar.
Right.
And but I think we got a lot more right than we missed on.
Yep.
And that's evidence of the guest. They're attracted to it.
They are. And yeah. I think that it, you know, it attracts a different guest than maybe who we've been speaking to at Freddy's. You know, you've got Gen Z out there. If they don't have an app, they're probably not, they're not going to try you.
Yeah, that's a good point, Chris. As a guy with a couple Gen Zers or whatever my kids are there, man, if it's not a mobile app and they can't text you, it's
yep.
kind of hard to get them on the phone.
Absolutely.
You know, or in person. So
for sure.
That's how that goes. We're coming up on 3 years, right?
It's crazy.
Holy smokes. Is that right?
It is. I know.
It's gone quick.
Yeah, I was looking at my anniversary pins the other day, and I'm like, wow, I'm about to have my third pin. Like, that went fast.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, so. That is exciting.
Well, I was thinking about the first time you and I talked, it was in the diligence process, and
yep.
you needed some info on Domo, and,
yeah.
and I happened to be available. I'm giving you a run through, and I got off the call, and I thought, those were different questions. He was asking, those are different. I wasn't expecting that, you know? And so I thought, man, I hope I did okay. But that guy, yeah, that's over three then, or right at three. So.
Yep.
I don't know what's. It's gone quick.
It has.
What are you proud of,
man?
You know,
that's a great question. I am proud of a lot. I'll start with that. I mean, I have a tremendous amount of pride in Freddy's. I'm proud of the work that was done at Freddy's before I ever got here. This brand is so strong and so much blood, sweat, and tears, you know, to get to where we were 3 years ago. Talking about the last 3 years, I will tell you, I have immense pride in our people, whether it's our franchisees or our employees. The amount of change that we have layered on to this organization in the last 33 months or whatever it is, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And when you line item it and you look at everything that's happened, it's a huge body of work. And as I'm out in the investment community and talking to other operators about what we've done, you can see people just kind of like glaze over when you're going through it, and they're like, wow, that's a lot. And it really has been a ton of work and a ton of improvement. And it's, you know, change is hard.
Yeah.
You know, change, everybody says they want change, but nobody wants to go through it. And change is hard. And, you know, from changing the executive operation and the people in the seats to tactics and operational intricacies of the restaurants. I mean, there's just been a tremendous amount of change, and our franchisees have been such great sports and have taken it all in stride, have been supportive and not combative. They've been collaborative and willing to listen and also give great feedback and not afraid to say, that's a bad idea. And I love to hear that, because sometimes we have bad ideas. And you know, I've got thick skin, we've all got thick skin, and we're all just trying to get to the same place. And so I've really been super proud of our franchisees and their willingness to adapt and change and be in the conversation. And also, you know, our employees. You know, think about if you're a longtime Fredhead and you've been operating cashier for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And think about all the changes that we've thrown at cashiers in just the last 5 years. You know, new POS, menu movement. Yeah. You've got, you know, app that download, you know, download app, scan app. You've got all of these moving parts just at cashier.
Yeah.
Right?
LTOs that
LTOs.
We've not done. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just a ton of change and movement. And our employees have been great and have taken it in stride. Our support staff employees have seen a tremendous amount of change. They've had to adapt to a new guy that has a very different operating style than probably what they were used to, and that's not easy. So I would say that, you know, I'm tremendously proud of our employees, and I'm tremendously proud of our franchisees and the work that they've been willing to do over the last few years. And also, stay true to Freddy's. While we've had a lot of change, we still love our guests. We still love our product. We still have a place that people are like to come and feel special when they're there. And so it's hard to do. So I'm super proud of all of that.
Yeah. I think I saw that old linebacker in you a couple times.
Yeah.
That, you know, if somebody's out and they say, Freddy's can't do that, you're like, whoa, hold up. I'm like, that guy's about to get tackled.
Yeah. You know, he's in there. I try to keep that guy at bay. And I will tell you, and you've seen it, and maybe a few of our other employees have seen it, but if somebody has a disparaging word to say about our franchisees,
yeah,
about our brand, or insinuates that there's a lack of caring for profitability or success, whatever that looks like, better quality of life, that does not set well with this bear. So it every now and then it'll come out. I am very passionate about Freddy's and our people, and I'm not gonna let somebody tell me that it's not important.
Yeah. Well, I say that. You mentioned biblical earlier. I was thinking about this word stewardship.
Absolutely.
And I think about that a lot. You know, you want to be a good steward.
You do.
And imagine if the answer to that question was, what are you proud of over 3 years? It's like, I kept everything the same. I cared for it, but I just kept it the same.
Yep.
I don't think that meets the stewardship model.
I don't either.
And stewardship to me, it's allowing something to become its fullness.
That's
and
right.
Supporting it. And sometimes that's the bear.
Yep.
Right. And sometimes it's the gentle coaxing down the road, but that's stewardship. It's much more fun to talk about the stewardship over the last 3 years. And so I don't get a chance. Thanks. You know,
yeah.
Just for me to you. Thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I like that. You know, I'll tell you, my dad, You know, when I was a younger kid, the reason I played football is because I could be a bit aggressive. And I did a lot of work as a youngster about, like, managing your aggression and making sure that, you know, it's appropriate. And my dad used to say to me, you know, back to the biblical thing, you know, Jesus was a loving man, but he did carry a staff. So, you know, it's all right every now and then to be a little forceful. So,
yeah. Hey, yeah, we got to go, right?
There it is.
All right. Well, that's three. Yep. I don't know. Three seems reasonable then. What's on the horizon out there? We've got hopefully a lot of folks listen to this and they want to know what's around the corner. Help me know, what are you thinking? And so I don't know. What do you see for us over 3 years?
I think it's going to be three of the most exciting years that Freddy's has had. I mean, you've got, you know, some new facilities that are going to be opening up, which give us greater capabilities to create and to train and to care for our people and our brand. And I think that's exciting. When you look at our scale, you know, we're hitting a number of units where we're really not the best kept secret in franchising. People know Freddy's and they're excited about Freddy's, and we're coming to a market near you. And so in my mind, I envision a diver on a diving springboard, and the board is fully bent.
Oh, ready to go.
And, you know, you're about to see the launch. And I feel like that's right where Freddy's is sitting right now. We are on the launching pad. And, you know, I think it goes back to, you know, the thing that's most important to us over the next 3 years is that we maintain our culture. We continue to be the Freddy's we've always been, despite the fact that we're seeing unparalleled growth. That we're taking on new opportunities. You still got to stay true. And as long as we do that, I think that the future is tremendously bright. I'm also super excited. You know, we're creating a lot of new Freddy's fans daily.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you look at our new restaurants that are opening and new markets where we really don't have any exposure in some cases, and we're just crushing it. And so I love that we're in a constant state of just creating new Fred heads out there. I think, and when you look at the total number of new Freddy's fans that we'll create over the next 3 years, will be pretty staggering. So I think that's exciting. And also, you know, growth and scale creates opportunity for us to grow our teams. And I think we've done an excellent job of bringing some really strong talent to our organizations around the country, whether it's franchisee organizations or it's the support center. We've done a great job of bringing on new people, and I think that we will have a lot of, you know, super smart, talented folks joining our teams, which will make us better in the long run as well. So great people, great culture, tremendous growth in a new world of Fred heads out there is very exciting.
Yeah. Man, I just want to leave it right there. That was well said.
That's pretty. That's where it's at.
That's so pretty good. So, hold on. I'm new to this. How the heck do you end this thing? Do we just keep going, or what happens here?
Well, the thing is, I have found that a good podcast is one where you feel like you could keep going, but you don't.
Okay. I like this. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Hey, all right. Let's end why it's good.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for being being on the podcast, and thank you for all that you do for Freddy's and the great team that you've built. Go out there, support our restaurants, train our franchisees and our managers. Much appreciated, and love having you as a partner. So thank you.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Signing off.
Thanks for listening. If you have any topics you'd like us to consider, please submit your ideas to jillt@freddysusa.com. That's jillt@freddysusa.com.